crazy to think in the next week players are going to start pouring into NFL camps. A lot of intrigue. Everybody pursuing the Chiefs. Our guest, a returning champ, part of the Rise and Draft team. Online, riseanddraft.com. He's the co-host of the First Team podcast, part of the Great Believe Network. His Twitter handle is at riseanddraft. Welcome back, Ryan Roberts. Ryan, great having you. How's life treating you in Jersey?
I'm doing okay, Steve. It's doing okay, man. I got the newborn who just turned 6 weeks today, so we're plugging along out here, man. How's everything on your end?
Great. Yeah, I saw your post from May 29th. I mean, beyond adorable. The latest addition to the Roberts family. So I always ask, when was the last time you or your wife slept more than 2 hours in a row?
Man, we're actually kind of lucky, man. The new baby's not that bad of a sleeper right now. I mean, she's only doing about 2 wake-ups a night, which is good, and one night she only woke up once, so it's getting into the right swing of things, man. So we're pretty blessed with the sleep right now.
That's awesome. Yeah. By the way, they always say you can't make up for sleep, but when you have it, you got to appreciate it. That's
beautiful. Absolutely.
You know, so anyway, belated congratulations.
Thank you.
A general question. I've been asking a lot of our out-of-market guests, when it comes to Oregon football, non-specifics, you know, you have the view of fans who are here, those who are in conference, then the national read. So you're wired into the college game, but on a different coast. I'm always curious, how would you describe your perception of Oregon Duck football?
I mean, I think that it's a sleeping giant in a way, because I think that the brand is really cool. There's obviously a lot of money behind it, and I think that even when you're talking about going back to like the Marcus Mariota, LaMichael James era, like when Oregon is good, they're a very cool team, right? And I mean, obviously I cover recruiting a lot, and it's right. Like with Oregon, you know, with the image that they have, with the fanfare that they have, with the money behind the program that they have, obviously there's a lot that you could possibly unlock with the Oregon Ducks program. I mean, it is one of those situations where I really don't think there's much of a ceiling to that program if they do it right. And obviously I was a big fan of a lot of what they did in year one under Dan Lanning. I'm interested to see with, you know, obviously the offensive coordinator turnover with Kenny Dillingham going down to Arizona State. I am kind of interested to see just kind of what the transitional period is, or, you know, was he the guy that was really pushing the right buttons, or was it just Dan Lanning's, you know, philosophy? Because obviously he's a defensive guy coming over from Georgia. So I'm really interested in the short term, but like long term, if Dan Lanning can put a consistent staff together, which it seems like he's doing a good job of so far, I really think it's a sleeping giant, because they have all the support and all, you know, everything around him that he needs to be successful and be a great recruiter and to be a power in the Pac-12.
Talking with Ryan Roberts, Rise and Draft to the NFL, being from Jersey, being old, who got to see Namath play and Lawrence Taylor. Those two teams always near and dear. Aaron Rodgers now at the helm. They got the Offensive Rookie of the Year in Garrett Wilson. They made some additions. The offensive line, I guess the hope is Mekhi Becton will be healthy. So back there, what's the buzz about what Rodgers and this Jets offense could be?
I mean, it's optimistic, I would say. I mean, for the first time in a while, you look at the New York Jets skill position and you're super excited about it. You know, I mean, it wasn't too long ago that we're talking about like Quincy Enunwa being the number one receiver. I mean, that was very recent past, you know, like that was only like 3 years ago at this point. Now you're sitting there and you're like, Garrett Wilson with Breece Hall in the backfield with a very talented offensive line. And you mentioned Mekhi Becton. If Mekhi Becton could stay healthy and then you have the pieces that they've been able to obtain, I think it's going to be one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. And then obviously Aaron Rodgers, you know, who's coming off a not great year with Green Bay, but there's usually reasons for that stuff, right? I mean, there's contract turmoil and all that stuff behind the scenes. And, you know, he's getting a little bit older in the tooth. But I think for the most part, people are excited about the New York Jets. I think that it has the potential to be the best offense that they've had in several years. And I think that what you saw last year was when the quarterback play was just adequate, like not even good, just solid. They were a very competitive team. They have a good defense. They have a lot of young pieces, Quinton Williams on that side of the ball. So I think there's a lot of optimism about the New York Jets. I also say from the New York Giants perspective, I think there's a lot of optimism because I really do think that Brian Daboll is a really good coach. I think that they got all about as much as he could have gotten on that 2022 roster as he could have. I am personally a little bit worried for Coach Daboll just because now you're tied to Daniel Jones for the price tag that you're tied to him, so there's going to be less money to allocate to the roster, which isn't a great roster. It still needs to improve, but I think optimism, because you know that you have your guy as the head coach, is also great. And I think that the New York Jets, though, you know, just kind of circling back, is about as optimistic as I think people have been about the New York Jets in a couple of years, to be honest, right now.
Yeah, and of course, we know the history with the Jets, going on 55 years of optimism turning into misery, but that's a story for another day. I want to kind of piggyback on the Giants. I mean, we saw the ex-Oregon State receiver, Isaiah Hodgins, come on strong. Yep. They went corner in the first round. The Deontay Banks from Maryland added Darren Waller. So from where they stand with Saquon Barkley, what's the upside for this offense? And I'm kind of with you. I like, don't love Danny Dimes.
Right, right. Well, and that's my big thing, right, Steve? Is like, I think that they're building a roster well. I mean, you mentioned Deontay Banks, and Darren Waller obviously is the big addition from the Raiders this offseason. But, I mean, I even moved down in the draft and say, like, you got who I thought was potentially the best center in the draft with the 57th overall pick in John Michael Schmitz, and I think that he's going to come in. And he could get started from day one at center. And I think that Jalin Hyatt in the third round is a really positive deep threat. And I really liked a lot of what this team has been doing this offseason. I mean, if Isaiah Hodgins continues to build up what he did last year, if he's a solid secondary, you know, third option type of guy, and you have obviously the young talents that you're now accumulating with the Darren Waller. Well, Darren Waller's not super young anymore, but still a proven commodity on top of who you've been drafting. I like it. I mean, I really do. Like I said, I like Brian Daboll. I think that he is a really good offensive mind. I think he's a good head coach. I think that the team really bought in to what he was selling last year. So I like where the roster's going. I think that they definitely overachieved with the talent they had last year. I'm just hoping that they can put enough around Daniel Jones kind of cheaply to get the most out of him. Because I think he's a solid NFL quarterback, but I do think there's a little bit of a ceiling on him, to be honest.
Yeah, it's my George Costanza theory. Filled with hope, and in the end, it's hope that kills you. Talking NFL, Ryan Roberts, Rise and Draft. You know, thinking about Seattle last year, it looked like by trading Russell Wilson, they were moving into kind of a mini rebuild, and then Geno Smith has a career year. And I know they've got issues on defense, but Devin Witherspoon at corner from Illinois, a terrific receiver in Smith and Jigba from Ohio State, and then Zach Charbonnet from UCLA to supplement Kenneth Walker. I mean, if you just focused on your take, it looked like that could be a hell of a draft.
It can be. It was one of my highest rated drafts when we did kind of our post-draft stuff, because I really think that, first and foremost, you got one of the safer and better football players in the draft with the fifth overall selection. I know some people are like, you know, fifth spot for a corner, blah, 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 blah. Devin Witherspoon's a dog, man. He's an absolute phenomenal player out of Illinois. He was one of my top six graded players in this last year's class. Like, I absolutely love Devin Witherspoon. So I was there for it. Jackson Smith and Jigba, I thought, was a really intriguing pick because not necessarily a need per se with the 20th overall selection, because you have two great pass catchers, obviously, in DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. But I think that the transition is going to be really awesome, because you look at it and say, those two are your outside vertically based receivers, and now you can just throw Smith and Jigba into the slot. And then Tyler Lockett, you know, rumored to be out almost every single year at this point because he's getting a little bit older, and is he a move candidate, all that type of stuff. But when that does happen, Jack Smith and Jigba just easily slides into that number two role behind DK as far as the premier pass catcher on that offense. So I think that they did a lot of great things in this draft. Zach Charbonnet in the second round to go with Kenneth Walker, I think, was a really solid fit for him. Oluwatimi in the fifth round is a pretty solid center prospect. They even got one of the better run-defending defensive tackles in Cameron Young in the fourth round. He's just a little limited as far as the pass rush upside he can get. So I think Seattle, I thought, was a little bit dead in the water, to be honest, when I heard that Geno Smith was going to be the starter. But obviously you got a Pro Bowl season out of him. You have one of the best supporting casts that I can ever remember Seattle having. Like, this is like a Sean Alexander, like that group, you know, like the later stages of Bobby Engram and all those casts, Corn Robinson. This is one of the more talented talented skill positions that I've seen in Seattle. So there's a lot to be excited about and a lot of optimism, I think, in Seattle right now.
You know, obviously being here in Eugene, we've got a huge Chargers fan club because of Justin Herbert. We know the season ended in misery. They drafted Quentin Johnston from TCU. He joins a couple of tough guys in Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. They bring back their all-purpose weapon in Austin Eckler. Rashawn Slater was injured. Now he's back. They got a new offensive coordinator. So what's your read on the L.A. offseason and where they fit in a, let's face it, it's a killer AFC?
Yeah, I mean, I really like the team on roster. I mean, there's a lot that, to really get excited about with LA. I mean, you mentioned Rashawn Slater coming back from injury. I mean, he was on trajectory to being one of the best left tackles in the NFL, and obviously he still has that opportunity if he comes back healthy. But, I mean, you look at this offense, and not a lot of holes, man. Like, there's just not. I mean, I guess you could call tight end a hole where you are. I mean, there's nothing crazy. But, I mean, even Gerald Everett, Donald Parham, if they're used correctly, they're serviceable, obviously, at the tight end spot. Offensive line gets a huge boost. Zion Johnson in year two. And then, I mean, wide receiver-wise, a lot of talent. I am interested to see how Mike Williams and Quentin Johnson fit together because they're kind of similar in the ways that they win, a little bit different as far as athletes, but I really think that they win kind of similarly. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they mesh together. But a lot of names on that defense. If Joey Bosa is able to stay healthy and you are able to get some more production on the back end, I think it's one of the more talented rosters in the NFL. I just personally, I have some skepticism over Brandon Staley as the head coach. I just do. I mean, I think that he's a tremendous defensive mind. He could be my defensive coordinator every day of the week. I don't hugely push back against analytics. Like, I think analytics are very important, but I think that there is a, I think there's a very fine line between using it correctly and overusing it entirely, and I think that he stresses that line a little bit too much for my liking. So I have some doubts about him, but I think the roster is one of the better ones in the AFC.
Yeah, in a tight game, going for it on 3rd and 11 from your 19. I'm not big on the analytics there. couple final thoughts for Ryan Roberts, Rise and Draft, part of the Believe Network. Before the draft, you talked about some possible value picks. So now that it's in the rear view, let's start with maybe a guy who's not getting the ink or talk like the quarterbacks or maybe Will Anderson of Alabama, who might be a candidate for that steal of the draft moniker.
Yeah, I mean, there's two guys for me, honestly. I think there's one at offense and one at defense that I looked at, Steve, and I'm like, these are my two of the highest rated players I had that did not go in the first round. One is Joshua Downs, who I love out of North Carolina, who got drafted by the Indianapolis Colts in the 3rd round. I look at him immediately, especially with a roster now that obviously the demise of T.Y. Hilton no longer in the room. They're kind of missing that pure vertical speed guy. You know, they have Michael Pittman who can win down the field, but he wins down more with size and length and catch radius and all that great stuff. Joshua Downs, I feel like, is going to go in day one, be a starting slot, work a little bit to the outside. I think he can play both in the slot and as outside as a Z. I think he's going to be interchangeable, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's one of the rookie leaders in receiving in year one. I really do. I think that when you look at him and look at that offense, it is seriously in need for a lot of juice, and I think that that is what Joshua Downs can do. And after the catch, it's vertical speed. I really like Downs a lot, man. I had an early 2nd-round grade on him. He lasts the 3rd round. I think he's going to be tremendous. And then the other guy is Trenton Simpson, who's now drafted by the Baltimore Ravens. He was out of the Clemson Tigers. I think that he was very misused last year, and I think he got a little bit caught in the transition of Brent Venables now to Wes Goodwin, and I just did not think that that defense was nearly as attack-heavy as it had been in the past, and he's an attack-style player. I mean, he's 6'2", 235 pounds, but the year before he was playing like a Sam linebacker role out in space a ton, and then they moved him into Will linebacker, and I just think that the transition to a new defense was just not great for him, so he falls to the 3rd round. Right now, he's going to be sitting behind year one Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith, but we know that this offseason Patrick Queen's fifth-year option was not picked up. So there's a spot at that Will linebacker spot after the season. I wouldn't be shocked if, as the course of the year, the Ravens start using more and more, getting Trenton Simpson involved in the game. And then when you go to the 2024, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a full-time starter and a plus Will linebacker in the NFL. I was a fan of Trenton Simpson. I just thought he was misused in 2022.
Folks, he's Ryan Roberts, always with terrific information, as if he doesn't have enough happening with a newborn. He's keeping busy as a recruiting analyst also for Notre Dame. Check out irishbreakdown.com, co-hosting the First Team Pod as part of the Believe Network. And on Twitter, the handle at RisenDraft. Ryan, really, really appreciate the time. Insight again. Congrats on the new addition, and always fun having you. Be well. Look forward to catching up soon.
Absolutely, Steve. Thanks as always, brother. I appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy. There you go. Ryan Roberts.